passive faith. We can say we have faith, but if it's not active, then it's not really faith. We've talked about faith as a noun. Faith is a verb. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is something, as we read the Bible, we see the promises of God, and as we see those things, hope begins to arise in our heart. Hope is a confident expectation. Hope is like a thermostat in a room. I came in here this morning before 7 o'clock, about 6:35 this morning, and it was cool in here. But it wasn't long till I heard click, 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 click. The thermostats kicked on, and then it wasn't long till it began to warm up in here. Well, hope, our confident expectation, is like a thermostat. It sets the level for faith to produce. And when hope goes to work, faith is engaged, and faith is the power of God that brings the hope to pass in our lives. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, or faith gives substance to things hoped for. Faith becomes the title deed. It becomes the reality of things that we hope for. And it comes to pass as we begin to hope. But it's not a passive word. See, it's a noun, but how is faith released? And we read Romans 10, 9, and 10, where it talks about that faith is in our heart and in our mouth. It's in our heart and in our mouth. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. There's a principle there. It's called the release of faith. And anything in your life has to do with the word, what you believe in your heart, and what you say with your mouth, and what you do with your actions. Faith is always an action word. Faith is an action word. We have a tendency to become slack in our faith. It's because we quit acting on what we know to do. It's because we quit saying what we know to say. You know, a lot of times people look at their circumstances and they say what they have. They talk about where they are. They talk about what they don't have. When we see in the Word of God promises that give us a confident expectation about our future. You know what I quit saying a long time ago? Well, I hope I'm going to heaven. You know what I did? Over 40 years ago, I confessed with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believed in my heart that God raised him from the dead. My faith gave substance to my hope, and I was born again. And I don't have to wonder about if I'm going to heaven or not, because I have done what that said. And I continue to do what that says. I still confess him as Lord and Savior daily. I don't ever say, well, Jesus, come into my heart. I already did that. My faith already gave substance to that hope. Faith is something that is active. It's the power of God that gives substance to our hope or our expectation. And then at the same time, it's something that we grow in the use of. And it has more to do than with us just being saved. Everything that we do should be with faith. Your daily life should be the life of faith. And here's an important thing. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Let me tell you this. The only way that you please God is walking by faith. You cannot please God and earn favor with him because of the good things that you do. You can't. You don't earn righteousness with him. You don't earn favor with him. That's not what pleases him. That's not what he's looking for. But what is it that he's looking for? He's looking for faith. And when we walk by faith, we'll do the good things, but we're not doing the good things to obtain God's favor. By faith, we have the favor, and then we can do good things. And it don't become a trap. You know, we get caught up in this, I've got to make my way to heaven. I've got to earn my way to heaven. I've got to earn the favor of God. I've got to say this 10 times or it won't come to pass. Or, you know, we get into all of this mess if we're not careful. I realized a few years ago that I'm accepted in the beloved. I am accepted by God. I am His very own child, and He's my very own Father, and He loves me. And He don't love me because of what I am. He doesn't love me because of what I do. He loves me. And when I can learn to live in the Father's love, I can develop a faith life that God can take and use in a wonderful way to bring glory to Him. I don't have to earn anything. We as Christians have a perfect righteousness. We have a perfect right standing with God. And it's not based on who we are or what we've done. It's based on what Jesus did in the perfect life, the death, burial, and resurrection from the dead. And when we receive that as sufficient, when we receive that as our righteousness, we are given a perfect righteousness. I don't have to condemn myself. I don't have to beat myself up anymore. I don't have to live the life of where it's all, oh, woe is me. I'm such a worm. Now, we are broken. We are broken. It's not about what we do. It's about who God is and how we relate to that. But see, when we do that, what He does, He comes in our daily lives and He begins to straighten out the stuff that's in our lives. This is called the faith walk. The faith walk. I learned the faith message years ago. Now, a lot of what we learned, and this is fine, is we learned how to receive from God. We learned how to receive what we needed from God. But faith is so much bigger than just learning how to receive the material blessings that we need. How many of you know we need material things? I need food. I can't eat air. I breathe it, but I can't eat it. Okay? There are things that we need in this life to live in this life. And faith will produce those things. But when we only use it in that realm, we miss a whole lot of what God wants to do. He wants it to be a day by day by day thing. We walk by faith, not by sight. Last week we talked about faith and trials. And what we're trying to get into is what does daily faith look like? What does daily faith look like? I heard a fellow say years ago, and he was kind of young in the Lord, and he says, you know what? When you really live by faith, you won't ever have any problems. Well, I don't know anybody that lives by faith. Because you know what? In life, you're going to have difficulties. You're going to have challenges. You're going to have temptations, tests, and trials. And we learned last week that it's not God that tries us. It's not God that puts these things in our path. In fact, it said in James 1, it says, let no man say when he's tempted that I'm tempted by God. Because God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does He tempt any man. He says, but we're tempted when we're drawn away by our own lust or our own desire. And normally we think about some sensual sin when we're thinking about that, but it could be lots of things. You can be driven to work all the time. We call it workaholic. You can be driven to be lazy. That's a lust. That's a desire. You know, sometimes I have certain disciplines in my life that I do. I exercise. I try to eat right. I read. I'm reading the Bible. I read books. I have goals that I set in my life. And there's sometimes I just have to confess. I just have to confess this, that when I get up in the morning, well, when I wake up in the morning, I want to roll over and go back to sleep. I normally get up about 5:30 in the morning to begin my daily disciplines. And there's times that I just have this lust, this desire to not do it today. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? There's times when I see chocolate cake that I have this lust to just eat about half of it. Okay? So when we're talking about desire, we're talking about a whole gamut of things. It could be being offended. It could be unforgiveness. All of those things have to do with passion and desire. That's all in the soulish realm of our lives where passion is. And if we're not careful, it says that when desire has had a baby, it brings forth sin. And when sin has its baby, it brings forth death. And then it goes on, and we're going to read in James chapter 1. We should have it up on the screen for you here. 16. It says, "So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us His true word. And we, out of all creation, because we became His prized possession." Put your hand on your heart. You're touching God's prized possession. See, you're born again today. You're saved today because God chose to do it. He put His love on you. He put His grace in your life. And when you accepted that, I mean, even before you accepted it, you were His prized possession. You participated with it when you made Jesus Lord. God is not out to hurt you. God is out to bless you. The good things that come to us in life come from the Father. The rest of it, we live in a fallen world. There's sin in this world. There's temptations in this world. And we will come in contact with those things. But you know, it tells us earlier in this chapter, it says, "Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation," knowing certain things. When we accurately understand the Word of God, we know that the tests and trials of life cannot hurt us if we will remain in faith. They won't hurt us. In fact, your faith will take you through them. Faith will produce patience in your life. And here's what patience will do. It'll continue to work into you till you are mature, complete, lacking nothing. The very thing that caused you to fall into the temptation will be dealt with by the Holy Spirit from the inside out so that you don't produce that same thing again. This has to do with your faith life. Your faith life. God is not testing you. God is not testing you, but faith will be tested, okay? Faith will be tested. Anytime you hear, listen to this, anytime you hear the Word of God, it's going to be challenged. Don't care who you are, because if you remember the parable of the sower, it says when, the, you know, the seed that the sower sows is the Word. The first thing that comes when the seed is sown is the birds come, which is the enemy. The birds come and they take away the Word that's been sown on the ground so that it won't produce in the heart. And any time you hear the Word of God, you'll have the chance to be offended. You'll have a chance for the enemy to come steal the Word out of your heart. Because if that Word stays in your heart, it will produce a harvest. It will produce what God intended for it to produce. It'll produce whatever it is that He sent it to do. But if the seed is not in the ground, there will be no harvest. So trust me. Every word that you ever hear from the Word of God will be tested. It'll be tried. You will come under persecution, or you'll come under some kind of thing. Some of it is your own heart. Because the Word is not always easy to hear, especially when it goes against our flesh. Have you ever noticed that bad habits are easy to establish? Chocolate cake is easy to eat. You can eat some every meal. You can eat some between meals. The more you eat, the easier it is to eat. Drinking water and eating carrots is a little bit harder to establish in your life. Amen. You can do it. Eating healthy is a little harder to establish than eating sloppy. I love grease, greasy hamburgers, greasy French fries. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Can I get a witness? Yeah. Yeah. big old steaks. It's easy to do that. All you got to do is let go and do it. But to establish the healthy stuff in your life is a little bit more of a challenge. This is where your own heart, your own flesh will challenge you sometime because you don't always want to do it. I want to read some more. Here we go. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to be angry. I want to read this to you out of the Message. Don't try to follow me with this. I'm just going to. But I like the way that the Message Bible says this. Post this in all intersections, dear friends. Lead with your ears, follow with your tongue, and let anger straggle along in the rear. Many times we get our passion out front. We get our passion, we get our anger out front, we get our emotion out front. It says, what do you do? What do you lead with? Don't lead with your mouth. Lead with your ears. Be slow to speak, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Don't act impulsively. This kind of stuff will affect your faith life. Remember, where does faith come from? It comes, where's faith at? It's in your heart and in your mouth. If you lead with your mouth, if you allow anger to generate what you say, you will not speak faith. You will speak anger. And it will affect your heart. It will affect your faith life. Understand that the flesh affects faith. When we live in the flesh, we're not going to live in the Spirit. It will affect your faith life. And when you grow by what? Faith. How do we please God? By faith we please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. All right, listen some more. There's nothing deceitful in God, nothing two-faced, nothing fickle. He brought us to life using the true word, showing us off as the crown of all his creatures. I'm in the Message, Tyler. Post this in all the intersections, dear friends. Lead with your ears, follow with your tongue, and let anger straggle along in the rear. God's righteousness does not grow from human anger. So throw away all spoiled virtue and cancerous evil in the garbage. It's time for us as believers. Don't make excuses for your shortcomings. It's time for us to throw that in the garbage. Why? Because it affects our faith. It affects us in our faith. What you hear, what you say, and the passion with which you say it affects your faith. It can be bad or it can be good. Okay? What I put up with in my life, the sin, affects my faith life. If I'm going to learn to live in faith and walk in faith, faith will help me deal with my shortcomings. We'll learn how to receive. We'll learn how to walk in God's righteousness. It says, so throw away all spoiled virtue and cancerous evil in the garbage. In simple humility, everybody say humility. Let our gardener, God, landscape you with the word, making a salvation garden of your life. See, God wants you to begin to deal with yourself because he wants to create a garden in you. He wants you to become a garden. What do gardens do? They feed us, don't they? What does the world need? It needs some salvation gardens out there. It needs some Christians out there that are producing the right kind of fruit so that we can feed those people out there out of the overflow of the salvation and the work of God in our lives personally. God wants to use you. But for God to use you, it has to start with you. You have to have a work of God in your life before God can use you. You say, well, I'm saved. I'm not talking about being saved. I'm talking about the fruit of salvation begin to work out in your heart, in your mouth, and in your actions. You know, if you go out and say, I'm a Christian, and then you judge somebody or you gossip about somebody, how many of you know that's not very good fruit? Do we do that? Yeah, we do that sometimes. We need the Holy Spirit to draw us up short when we do something like that. Why? Because it's not the fruit of righteousness. It is not the fruit that God wants to grow in our lives. Will that affect our faith walk? Yes, it will. Yes, it will. It'll affect your witness. It'll affect you being able to hear what the Spirit is wanting to say to you, because He wants to say things to you and guide you. Have you ever had the Holy Spirit wake you up in the middle of the night and correct you about something that you said? I've had that happen several times. He wasn't condemning me. He was correcting me. And I want that. Because I'm just as human as you are. I make mistakes just like you do. I sin just like you do. And when I say sin, I'm just talking about sometimes. It's just my attitude sometimes. Sometimes I forget who I am. And I'm not talking about being a pastor. I'm just talking about being a believer. I forget in my interaction with people who I am and what I represent. And I don't need to do that. And none of us do. God wants to make through His Word working in our lives, He wants to make a garden of salvation out of all of us. He wants us to show forth the fruits of righteousness. He wants us to show the fruit of the Spirit. He wants us to show all of these things in our lives so that we can be a blessing to everybody that we come in contact with. Okay, got to read fast. Verse 22, don't fool yourselves into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but letting the word go in one ear and out the other. It's easy to come to church, hear the preaching, like the preaching, go out, and never think about it again. That's not a hearer of the word, okay? That's not a hearer of the word. Act on what you hear. Faith is what? Action. Faith is action. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are or what they look like. But whoever catches a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, the free life, even out of the corner of his eye and sticks with it, is not distracted, scatterbrained, but a man or woman of action, that person will find delight and affirmation in action. Well, that's good. Anyone who sets him, this is a good test here. Anyone who sets himself up as religious by talking a good game is self-deceived. This kind of religion is hot air and only hot air. Real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this. Reach out to the homeless and loveless in their plight, and guard against the corruption from the godless world. So what does real spirituality look like? It's action. It's based on love. See, the greatest fruit that God wants to put in our life is His love. And when that becomes the fruit of our garden, and we learn to, by faith, live the love life, we see the need. We're not just talking the talk. We're walking the walk. We're doing two things. We're reaching out to those who are in need. Those whom God loves. If we call ourselves people of love, And then the best we can do is say, I'll pray for you. Is that really love? We need to be willing to reach out. In other words, we need to be people of action, not people of words only. But we need to be people of words, but we also need people of action. And then it winds up and says that we deal with the sin that gets between us and God. Because the sinful life will affect the faith life. So what does our walking in faith, how do we walk it out? We walk it out daily. We live by faith. That's the only way that we please God. And then in our we need God's wisdom. Remember we read last week, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and doesn't find fault. And it tells us to ask in faith. You need to be seeking God to what your faith life looks like. The Holy Spirit will guide you in your daily walk, in where you do business, where you work, what you do, where you shop. We need to be conscious of living out our faith life. Sometimes we don't think about that. There are days, I have to confess. When I wake up in the morning, I'll pray. I say, now, God, I want you to use me today. I come to the end of the day, and I'm laying in bed before I go to sleep, and I'm thinking, God, I didn't even think about you today. I didn't even ask you any time in my day. To use me or to show me people that I can encourage, that I can do something for. I just got so caught up in my day that I didn't even think about his guidance. I get busy. We heard something in our life group last week. It says busyness is the new worldliness. We can get so busy in life that we become more worldly minded than we are spiritually minded. That's possible to do. Let's pray. I've dumped a lot on you today. I want to pray over you. God, thank you today. Thank you, first of all, that you love us right where we are. Right in our spiritual state, you love us. So love, Father, is not the issue. The issue, Lord, in our lives is we need to learn how to walk our faith. And Lord, I must admit, there's a lot of times that I don't do it. But I don't want to live that way, Father. I want to live the life of faith. I want it to be a reality in my life. Yes, Father, I want to be able to receive from you the material things that I need. But I don't want my faith life to be limited to cars and houses and bills being paid and blessings. Lord, I want it to turn around where I can use everything that you do in my life to be a garden of salvation, that other people can see your goodness and that you might be glorified in my daily walk with you. Thank you for that today, Father. I pray all those who hear today will regard the word in their hearts. Holy Spirit, I thank you for speaking to every person here today. Thank you for your love in your grace, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. Anybody blessed today? Amen. I said, is anybody blessed today?
Amen.
All right. Turn around and greet somebody as you're dismissed today. Thank you for being here.